Welcome back to Amud Yomi. Today we're continuing to learn Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We'll be kicking up the beginning of the Perek on Chav Hey Amud Beis, and we're, as always, learning in the merit of the safe and speedily return of the hostages, the safe and speedily return and triumph of the Israeli army, and the also the merit that Israel should be able to withstand all the external pressures and do what they need to do so that they can be successful in destroying this evil Amalek. Says the Mishnah, Bnei Ir Shemachru Rochva Shel Ir. So in the previous Mishnah, we were talking about a Sefer Torah, and the sanctity of Sefer Torah. So now we're going to continue talking a little about the sanctity of, we're talking about Torah readings. So now we're going to talk about the sanctity of Torah in general, for that matter, really all other ritual items. Bnei Ir Shemachru Rochva Shel Ir, local B'damah B'Basic Knesset. So the assumption of our Mishnah is going to be that the town square has some sort of low level of sanctity of Kedusha. I was going to say because there are times where they actually use it as a public place of prayer. And therefore, the operative principle is going to be things of Kedusha, of sanctity. If you sell them, you can only buy things that have, you know, likewise sanctity, you know, a lateral sanctity, or something that has a vertical sanctity, something that's it's more sanctified. So as we'll see, if you sell the town square, you can only buy something that's either another town square or a synagogue. Okay, that has a little more heightened level sanctity. Basic net says lokum teva, you can buy the Aron Kodesh. Teva, lokum matpechos, you can buy the wrappings for the Torah. Matpechos, if you sell the wrappings of the Torah, so you can either buy again lateral more wrappings, or yaklu svar, you can buy the other books. Now we say books, we mean the Nevi'im Ksuvim. Svarim, lokum Torah, you can only buy a Torah scroll. Alei machor Torah, but if you sell a Torah, lokum svarim, you cannot purchase books. The only thing you can do when you sell a Torah is buy another Torah. Or for that matter, I'm just adding in here, you're allowed to sell Torah in order to free hostages, you're allowed to sell Torah to buy another Sefer Torah, and you're allowed to sell Torah to help someone get married. Now, lo yiklu svarim, you cannot purchase books, other books. Svarim, lo yiklu matpechos, you cannot purchase the wrappings of the Torah, the mantle, matpechos, lo yiklu teva, the actual Aron Kodesh, teva, lo yiklu basic neses, and then, I just lost the place here. Table Layuklu base Knesses. Base Knesses Layuklu as a Rechov. Avchein b'Moserim. So too with all the leftover proceeds. And again, this is actually very relevant. You have a shul that's closing down, and they want to sell the Torah so they can buy a new space, or you have an old Sefer Torah and you want to sell it. What can you buy with it? So this comes up. We have a shul at Gan Shei Chesed. We have 19 Sefer Torah. We don't have 19. I think we have 9 or so. So if someone says, you know, we want to buy a new Megillah. The Megillah is getting old. So let's sell Torah and buy a Megillah. We could maybe buy you know, a Tanakh, the Shayahu on the scroll, you know, so we can fill the grove, not reading it off, reading on a cloth instead of reading it on a book. And the question is, are you allowed to do that? The answer is no, you can't sell Sefer Torah for that purpose. Okay. B'nei Yerushim Macha Rach Wishalir. So the Mar is going to try to figure out what's going on here. So the Mishnah says the town people sell the town square. It's important to mention the townspeople because if you have a town where there is a board, you know, there's people who are either elected officials or appointed officials, that might have a different law. We'll get there. The town people sell the town square. Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Yochanan, Zutif Rav Nachman Bar Yosi Smita. This is from Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, the author of the anonymous statements. The sages say the town square does not have any sanctity, and therefore there's no restrictions on how you could sell and what you could do with the proceeds. Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, my time. What was Rav Nachman Bar Yosi's reason for saying there is some sort of low-level sanctity? Because on public fast days and during the days of the Ma'amados, which we discussed previously, when every day they brought the carbon tumbin to the base of Migdash, you had people who, and this comes up in Masechtas Tainis, which we might learn next, people were appointed to represent the Jewish people. They would do their reading. We do the Ma'amados where you read for Bereishis. They would do this in the town square. The public fast day took place in the town square. Thus, he was under the impression it has some low-level sanctity. For a banan, they say, no, this is occasional, and therefore it's not enough to imbue it with sanctity. Next, base nes lokon teva. With a basic neses, you can buy a teva, the Aron Kodesh. This is only with a basic neses of a rural area, where it's the private property of the villagers. A basic neses shel krachim, but in a urban, large city, kevan de maila asule lo matzim mizvenile. Since people from all over the world come to it, they have no right to it. Meaning, Havilei Rab belongs to the general public. Again, I think there's a lot here to discuss about what public and private ownership and how exactly the Torah in the Chazal look at what's considered public, what's private. And this also came up earlier as well in this Masechta, I believe, unless I'm thinking of Nedarim because I'm muddling everything, learning both together now. But I believe it came up in this Masechta, maybe it came up in Baba Kama. Came up in this Masechta. I should move on. I'll think about it. I'll remember in a minute. I mean, what does it mean to have something owned by the public? I did come up in this Masechta. Great. So the Mishnah said this. The Mishnah says when you sell a shul, we're talking about a shul that's not owned by the public, but rather it's privately owned, and therefore what can you do with it? You can buy it Aron Kodesh. And obviously, if you can buy an Aron, you can buy anything above it on the list. Omer Bashi, high Beit Knesset the Muslim Machsia. There was a basic Knesset in the city of Machsia. Even though people from all over the world come to it, you would think it's a public. Basically, Knesset came in a Daidi Dika also Ibai Bezvadi Lay. He says, they're coming. Why are they coming? They're coming for the rabbi. Sometimes people go to shul because there's a shul and it happens to be there's a rabbi there who gets a drasha. And sometimes people come because of the rabbi, because they're coming from me. They're coming to hear my shir, and I'm the great Ravashi. And therefore, if I want to, I can sell it because really it's considered a private synagogue. Or you can argue that any outside contributions we're giving with the understanding, Tosfos says that Ravashi is the owner here, and he runs it. He can do what he wishes with the synagogue. Okay, Mesvi, the following challenge: Om Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'aseh Beis Knesset Shel Terusim Shayah BeYerushalayim. There was a shul in Yerushalayim for the copper refiners. They had their own shul. Shemacher BeLazer, which the trustees of the shul sold to Rabbi Lazer. Vasiba called Tzarchum. He used it for whatever he wanted to. Meaning, if he used it for whatever he wanted to, it means the sanctity disappeared. This is a big, large city. It's Yerushalayim, and yet the synagogue we're seemingly treating it like it's from a village, a privately owned synagogue. So how big Knesset does Zutahave? Now this belonged to the copper union and the Inu Avdu, and they could do it as they wanted. They built it themselves. They built it with their own stipulations. They could do what they wanted to. Meisvei is the following challenge: the base Eretz Achuzestam. So we're gonna actually learn out from a different place, and that is when it comes to tsaras. We know the blemishes can appear in three places: on a person, on their clothes, and on their home. The tsaras can only apply on a home that's ahuzastem, that belongs to, that land is divided and belongs to someone. So in the house of the land of your inheritance, achuzim mitam negayim, your inheritance can get the negayim, but a land that's not, that wasn't subject to inheritance because either it came later, it was after Israel conquered it, or as we'll see in a minute, maybe there were parts of Israel that were never divided up, cannot get tsaras, but not susceptible to tsaras. Ve'ein Yerushalayim b'tam negayim. Therefore, a house in Jerusalem is not susceptible to getting tsaras. Why? Amar Rav Yehuda. Well, we'll explain why in a minute, but I'm going to just foreshadow it because there's going to be a debate, and this rises of the opinion Yerushalayim is actually not, doesn't belong to any particular shevet, but rather belongs to all Gans Klal Yisrael, as we say in Yiddish. Amar Rav Yehuda. Ani lo shemati al makom mikdash b'vat. I have heard that the only place that's impervious to tsaras, i.e., that was not divided up, that belongs to all of Gans Klal Yisrael, was the Beis Hamikdash itself, the Temple Mount, maybe, but the rest of Yerushalayim is in fact divided up, and therefore it can get tsaras. So therefore, high but the Knesset, but the Knesset is Matamin. Therefore, a house of worship, i.e., a synagogue or a Beis Hamedrash, could get tsaras. Now, Amai, if this is true, if they do get tsaras, Hi, dekrachen havi. The implication is they're privately owned. But didn't a minute ago we pointed out that Shmuel pointed out even that the only synagogue that was privately owned in Yerushalayim was this from the copper union, the copper refiners. But every other synagogue belongs to everyone. So basically, the premise of the previous brisa was the Yerushalayim is considered a big city, and if it's a big city, then you can't sell the shoals. We then said 1 minute. What about the copper shoal? They said the copper shoal is unique. Now, if that's true, it's a big city, and therefore you can't sell the shoals. The other implication would be that these shoals belong to everyone, so they should be they should not be susceptible against tsaras. They should not be susceptible against tsaras. Yet, what's the problem? We now have a brisa which says that only Makom HaMikdash is not susceptible to tsaras, but the rest of Yerushalayim is susceptible to tsaras. But if the rest of Yerushalayim is susceptible to tsaras, we're saying is it's not considered a big enough city, and you should be able to sell all the shuls. So, Ema, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shvati el makom mikdash bavad. So, what's going on here? So, Rabbi Yehuda says as follows: I have heard the only area of Yerushalayim that's not susceptible to tsaras is the makom mikdash, but the rest of Yerushalayim is in fact susceptible to tsaras. So if this is true, not everything makes sense. Meaning, every other city in Yerushalayim, every other city, excuse me, I just went back a line. Meaning, so what, how are we going to answer this problem? So the answer is as follows. Rather, whatever Yehuda say, Ani l'shmati el mokam mikdash b'vad, sorry, el mokam mikudash b'vad. That was my mistake here. That a sacred site. Meaning to say as follows. That where Yehuda didn't understand. He originally, we thought Yehuda was saying that the mokam mikdash was the only place in Yerushalayim that was impervious to getting saras. And the assumption was because this is the one part of Yerushalayim that was collectively owned, where everything else was considered privately owned, and therefore could get saras. But if it could get saras, it could also be sold. Now we're saying no. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. He didn't say ela makom mikdash bavad, rather makom mikudash bavad. And that is to say, any place that has sanctity is impervious to saras. Therefore, that would include any place of sanctity, even apply to a shul. Because the shul, as we know, is mikdash ma'at. It's a small mini shul, miniature shul. In fact, the Sefer Yireim says that building a shul, you fulfill the derice obligation of also the mikdash, shant b'socha, building a mikdash. So now it all makes sense. Yerushalayim is considered a publicly owned city. Okay, good. If that's true, so we want to say if it's publicly owned, so then how could the shuls get saras? The answer is they can't get saras. All is good and well. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the argument? Tanakama Savar, Lonek Yushalayim Shvat. Tanakama is under the assumption Yushalayim was never divided among the tribes. Yehuda Savar, Nechliku Yushalayim Shvat was given to the tribes, and the reason why Shul can't get Saras is because of the Makom Mikudash. So, now, let's discuss this a little. Uplikta Dani Tani. The Rehuda and the Tanakama are really arguing over the following dispute, much earlier in my focus, the Tanya. Maya Bechelk Yehuda, what exactly, the Beis HaMikdash, the temple complex, it's very large. And it was in multiple territories of different Shvatim. Partially it was in Yehuda, partially it was in Binyamin. Okay, so says the Mishnah, what's considered in the portion of Yehuda and in the temple complex? Har Bayis, the temple mount. Halishkos, the chambers. Ha'azar, the courtyards. So then, if that's true, Mahai Bechelkish Binyamin, Ulam, there was this antechamber, Behecha, in the sanctuary, Obeis Kodesh Kedoshim, and the holiest of holies. That part was in the Kodesh Kedoshim. So it was in the Binyamin's chelik. For two, I saw Yotz Bechelkos Yehuda, and this wasn't like divided up like a perfect squares. This is meaning rather there was actually a part that jutted out of Yehuda. You know, this is kind of like the top of Pennsylvania, which goes and touches the I forget which lake that's over there, like Michigan or so, or really like Erie, or the part down in Alabama which juts out and touches the Gulf. Why that is, so that's actually because they wanted access to the waterways. Point is, you see, our states aren't perfect squares, and there's a reason for that. So, too, this is not perfect square. There's a part that juts out. And, by the way, you learned something new today. Okay. So, the part juts out from Yehuda and goes into the part of Binyamin. And on there, the altar is what the temple, the Mizbeach, was erected. Okay, great. And every day, Binyamin was anguished and upset about the fact that he lost part of his Sheva and that Yehuda, of his territory, Yehuda absorbed that territory, and he hopes to get it back. Shnemar, Choviv Alav Kol Yom. He agonizes over constantly. What's he agonizing over? The fact that he wants the Mizbeach in his territory. And because he lost the area of the Mizbeach, so we give him the part where the Shechina is as the Kodesh HaKadosh is in his temper, in his territory. Okay, now what's the implication of this whole debate over the map, the debate over geography over here? The debate really comes down to which parts of Binyamin, which parts of Yehuda. But the implication, though, is that Yerushalayim was divided as between Yehuda and Binyamin. But the Tanah of Braisa holds Yerushalayim was not given to Shvatim. So what we have here is machlokas. We have the Tanya. One second. I dropped the gun there. So one Tana, who has this whole debate between Yehuda and Binyamin, clearly thinks Yerushalayim was divided among the tribes. And this other Tana says, nope, Yerushalayim was not divided among the tribes. The Tani, now how do I know? So it says, Ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim. One's not allowed to rent out their house in Yerushalayim. Mipnesha in Yerushalayim, because it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Rather, what do? It belongs to everyone, so you can't rent it out. Realize about Tzadik Omer Aflo Mitos. You can't even lease your bed out. Because again, it doesn't belong to you. So now we have a machlokus. We set the machlokus up. This sage a step. One Tana says Binyamin and Yehuda argue, i.e., Yerushalayim was divided. The other Tana says no, it was not divided. And now, if you're thinking to yourself, 1 minute, how then does someone ever make money if they have an inn in Yerushalayim? The fichach, Bali Oshbiza note no samizra. The innkeepers can go to the those who come up to be the base of Megiddo and bring karbanos. So when you bring a sacrifice, you're left with the skins, the hides, which are very worth a lot of money. The innkeepers can go basically forcibly take the hides as a payment. Amar Abaye, Shmaya, we know one could derive from here the fact that innkeepers can take away the these things as gifts, payment. Orech Ara, it's Derech Eretz, it's a good thing to do. The mishpik inish gulva umashra beushbiza to leave a gift over to your host. Okay, where does that leave us? Where that leaves us is, and we'll stop over here, that there is a machlokas. If you shlein with not eschloshatim, it's not just a machlokas here, but actually it goes back way back to much earlier debate. I wish you all a wonderful day.